Hi, this is just a note to say that this episode was recorded a whole month before and uploaded a whole month later. Specifically, it was recorded on October 13th, 2019. So whenever I say last week or any time specific time reference, it's not right now. It was in the past. Thank you. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Conversationalists by Susibs. So this is going to be a new series that we're starting. I know we keep starting series and actually hardly ever continue them, commitment problems. But this is going to be something called Transcontinental Voice Notes. And what we aim to do is just have our unfiltered thoughts, because I think, well, we both think sometimes what comes to mind in the moment, it's kind of hard to recreate in the time that we meet, because Dea and I, we only see each other like several times a year. And whenever we meet each other, it's very hard to do a podcast because we kind of just get lost in whatever we end up doing. and oftentimes the thoughts that we had together can't really surface anymore when we try to record the podcast. So hopefully this series, it's going to, you know, allow us to broadcast our opinions without having to wait months on end to actually say them. So obviously I'm here alone. I'm currently in Doha. Just a week before starting school, actually like 3 days, but I'm still here. And Dea is all the way in Jakarta. That's just an intro about this new series that we're gonna do. So before that, we'll just, you know, hop right into the topic that I'm going to cover today. So what I'd really like to talk about today is youth activism and discuss their implications and other general musings that I have that come to mind. And just as a disclaimer, my views and opinions are my own, and I'd actually really love to hear about other points of views. So if you're ever in the mood for discussions, I'd love to hear from you. Yeah, maybe leave a comment or hit me on the DMs, on Instagram. Yeah, anything. Okay, so let's talk about youth activism. We can think of so many examples, I think, in recent days, especially maybe the one that you've seen all over social media, on the news, is Greta Thunberg. And she is, if you haven't heard about her, she's a 16-year-old Swedish activist who really started the Friday climate strikes all over the world in both schools and universities. By first protesting alone outside the Swedish Parliament building. And that quickly spread around the world. And now every week, every Friday, students would march in cities demanding action from governments around the world to really have solid policies on combating climate change. There's also the Me Too campaign in China. So I actually learned about this recently from Patriot Act by Hasan Minhaj, which is a great show on Netflix, by the way. You should all go see it. Not sponsored, just recommendation. It's really good. But yeah, the Chinese Me Too movement is basically a protest, a movement against sexual harassment. And in China, the female students were actually at the forefront of it, including those who were studying overseas. And they had to think of ways to publicize the movement while working around the censorship that was working in the country. And they were actually successful in the sense that they pressurized the government enough to include a new definition of sexual harassment for the very first time in Chinese history. Because previously there was no formal definition of sexual harassment, and so no cases were Well, not no, I think, I'm not sure. Yeah, I think no cases have ever been put forward for sexual harassment in China for lawsuits. So that was a big win. That was a big step, you know. Also, in recent days, there are also Hong Kong's protests against the extradition bills. And although this one wasn't limited to students, a large portion of the demographic that took part mobilized and arranged the protests. They were young students. But what really made me want to record this episode was actually Indonesia's recent youth protests. So just to give you a brief background information for those who are unaware, there are amazing articles already written out there, and I'll link a few in the description box below. I feel like a YouTuber saying that. But I'll link them in the post so you guys can read them in full, because I won't be able to go into them in detail. But basically, just as a brief primer, these are a series of demonstrations that have taken place in Indonesia, like all over Indonesia, by students. And they are protesting against the revisions of RKUHP. And KUHP is basically Kitab Undang-Undang Hukum Pidana. And in English, that's basically Indonesia's National Criminal Code, which has been in place since Indonesia's independence in 1945 and hasn't gone through any revisions since then. So they are trying to revise them now, but the new articles and codes that have been put in place are highly controversial. Now, there are plenty of articles to talk about and to go through. There are lots of articles out there that are great at summarizing them. I'm going to link one in the description of this, or in the post where I'm going to post this. And it's by coconuts.co that I found, and they summarize it really well. But just to name a few, there are articles criminalizing the act of insulting the government, or just general criticism of heads of state, and public could face up to 4.5 years of prison for that. There are articles outlawing abortion and criminalizing the act of providing the service of abortion by medical professionals. They could get their medical license taken away and face jail time as well. Outlawing what they deem as blasphemy, so it's publicly conveying hate speech against any of Indonesia's officially recognized religions. You could be jailed for up to 5 years and fined. There are also articles against spreading fake news that could cause public unrest, whether it be online or on television, any form of news. More articles against insulting public authority or state institutions, both verbally or in writing. And then there are articles outlawing and criminalizing the promotion of contraceptives to children. There are articles outlawing cohabitation, premarital cohabitation. People speculated that this would also affect foreigners, but it's since been revised to say that for foreigners, it's only if their parents press charges against either party. And yeah, this also includes if one gender, like for example, a female looks for a mixed dorm or shared rooms. Yeah, with the opposite gender. There are also laws criminalizing premarital sex and adultery, and even for lying about having sex. And then there are articles that apparently outlaw women going out at night past like 10 p.m. or something. And then there are laws for farmers to say that if their chicken go into someone else's land, they could get fined for it. And I know it's getting more and more ridiculous as I list them all out, but these are very real and very, like, they're debated for in Parliament, these articles. And some of them just sound so ridiculous as I'm just saying them out loud. Regardless of the debates that go on online and, you know, in Parliament right now, I don't think you can deny that these laws do infringe on the rights of many groups of people, particularly women, religious minorities, to an extent racial minorities, and the LGBTQ community as well, because they definitely do have articles criminalizing, you know, same-sex relations and cohabitation. It also will restrict and eventually kill freedom of speech. And what many people are afraid of is that with the death of freedom of speech, freedom to criticize, freedom to comment, and it will also be the death of democracy and the death of all the progress that has been made since the 1998 upheaval of Suharto's regime. Now, last week, Greta made a speech at a UN assembly for climate change. Also in this assembly, she and 15 other young people from all over the world. That includes a member from an indigenous Yupiak tribe and Ranton Anjain from Marshall Islands, which is one of the most endangered locations in the world due to rising sea levels due to climate change. These 16 young people filed a legal complaint. So basically, they put forward an actual lawsuit against five of the biggest carbon emitters in the world that ratified the Conventions on the Rights of Child, which I believe was established in 1990. And in her speech, something she said was, "This is all wrong. I shouldn't be up here. I should be back in school on the other side of the ocean." And that really hit me because it speaks volumes about young people being robbed of not just their future, but of their youth. Historically, students have always been at the center of change. You know, the 1998 protests against the New Order regime of Suharto in Indonesia, as I've mentioned before, Tiananmen Square in 1989, the Umbrella Movement in Hong Kong, the East LA walkouts. And these are only some of the ones I can think of from the top of my head. In the 20th and 21st century, we can go back ages and ages and think of more, probably. It's not new, but it doesn't make it any less significant, because I think it speaks a lot about the power of young people and their idealism. Because idealism, typically, it's almost like an unfortunate thing to have in this generation, sometimes it feels like. I've lost count of how many times I've heard someone say, "Oh, you're being too idealistic," or, you know, "You're living your heads in the clouds, you're not being practical enough." And these are valid criticisms, I agree. Sometimes you can be too idealistic. But these recent events, they're examples of action fueled by idealism. And I think it's incredibly powerful and empowering for other people, and it's steering society into a path of future that's different from the conventions, I guess you could say. But I feel like it also begs the questions of, should this be an expected feature of society? Young people catalyzing major changes and upheavals in society, basically hard-carrying thoughts, innovation of thoughts, I would say, with their very fragile backs. That follows into, if this is something that society expects of young people, either that's due to their idealism or their enthusiasm that hasn't been worn off by age or experience. If young people are the ones expected to bring about change, then why are they so removed from positions of power, and why are there such high barriers to them? There are so many questions surrounding this, and I don't think they'll ever be answered. You know, they're worth thinking about nonetheless. But it really does really put into perspective of the kind of social responsibility that seems to fall on young people these days. Instead of 16-year-olds worrying about their next outfit on their hangouts or the cinema listings, we have 16, 15, as young as 11-year-olds signing a legal lawsuit, a legal complaint against nations, fighting for their future, and that's it, fighting for their basic human right to live. This is a quote that my sister sent me over the weekend while we were discussing these demonstrations. It's by the first president of Indonesia. And what he said was, "Give me 1,000 adults, and I will rip a mountain from its roots. But give me 10 youth, 10 young women or men, and I will move the world." Okay, the direct translation is shake the world, but shake the world sounds like it's a rock and roll anthem or something, so I'm not going to say that. But yeah, that's what he said. And that was very profound to me, I think. I was personally very, very moved by both the demonstrations and this quote, because I think a lot of people put down this group that they label as Gen Z or millennials. And to an extent, there is also a lot of self-deprecating sentiment from the group itself, whether they be done satirically or in earnest. I think we're all guilty of that at one point in our lives. But I think this incident, perhaps because it was so personal to me and I saw videos of, you know, students from no less than like 10 universities in Indonesia, all over the country, not just in Jakarta, storming the parliament building and facing police violence, but not giving up hope. It made me think a lot, which isn't something I do often, but, you know, I think it's so easy to become desensitized to this type of news because there are so many of them. But when one hits particularly hard, you do start to understand. And I think the way their hope can be broken down by police violence in the face of tear gas, water cannons, direct beating by batons and other weapons. But yeah, it echoes the 1998 protest, which was against an authoritarian regime. And we are seeing the beginnings of that. And once again, it's young people at the forefront of it. Also, it's interesting to note that a lot of Gen Z culture has made its way into political world. This is more of an observation than proper thought, proper coherent thought, to be honest. Like, memes are so appropriated for political dissent, and its purpose, that wasn't the purpose. It was literally just for shit posting on TikTok or Twitter, you know? That's what memes should be. But young people are so, it's almost like they're so crucial to change that they can't even leave their culture behind when they're at the forefront of change. You know, you have to bring that in. And it's like, I feel like almost all aspects of being young now is being brought into political relevance. And I think that's just, I don't know, that's just something I've noticed. And it's interesting too. I mean, okay, satire has been used for ages for political criticism, but memes, you know, it's a new thing. And on the 24th, I believe that was the day they were supposed to have these articles brought into effect effectively, or they were supposed to basically bring it up to parliament, and students from no less than 10 universities or something all over the country, including those outside of Jakarta, they went out to the streets in protests, and those who were in Jakarta, they stormed the parliament building and peacefully protested outside of it. And they were met with altercations with police, surprise, surprise. And they were bombarded with crowd control measures is what they called it, but they were basically tear gas, water bombs, or water cannons, you know, because they were too expensive for the rainforest, but shooting them at students seems to be more of an economically wise decision. And they also faced actual direct beatings and just in general, very violent treatment from the police. while they were peacefully demonstrating, and this has sparked outrage online, and also mobilized many efforts, such as fundraising efforts, to aid these students. And they've actually, because of these protests, several states in Indonesia have actually voted no for these articles, but I believe until today they're still being revised, and what that pertains remains unclear. Despite debates that took place, I believe, either yesterday or on the 24th. I'm recording this on the 26th, by the way. but yeah, correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I believe that's what transpired so far. Anyway, this incident in particular really started making me think about the implications of youth activism and what it really means to society, I guess. Now, this is more of a personal insight. Basically, I study politics and economics at school. And whenever people hear about me studying politics, they're always like, oh, so you want to be a politician in the future? And my answer has always been a hard no. I've always justified it as saying, I like politics in theory. I like political theory. I like learning about it in textbooks and reading current affairs. But I don't want to put it into practice. I don't want to get my hands dirty in the filthy world of politics. And on a Tuesday morning, while babysitting my six-year-old sister and watching videos of people my age and even younger fighting for what they believe in, sticking their hands in not just dirty water, but right in the mouth of monsters. And then it hit me that I don't have the privilege of saying that anymore. Maybe I never did, but it only just registered to me. At least I don't feel like I have the privilege of saying I study something, but I want to keep my hands out of the dirty water. If there's anything that I learned about being a young person in this day and age, it's that I don't want to be complicit in bringing about a future I don't want to live in through inactivity. Now, I'm not saying that everyone has to go out and become activists starting from today. That's not my message. But I think it makes sense for us, especially those of us who are in a privileged position, to reevaluate that when you're in a position of privilege, when your community is being affected by something that infringes upon human rights, upon the security of future generations. And if you have the conscience, not even the means or expertise yet, just the conscience that a difference has to be made, then, you know, the conclusion is personal. It's up to you. And not to make this into a heart-to-heart podcast or anything, but of course, I'm still unsure as to what I can actually do to directly influence affairs or the progression of future. But I think just having that belief and that resolution within yourself to really want to contribute to something bigger than yourself, I think that's the first step that needs to be made. Yeah. I mean, sometimes, right, I think about all the poets and artists I had to study at school, like in history or in literature, or when I was studying art history for WSC. I just sometimes think about how so many of their works were inspired by reforms and upheavals, and later on they actually galvanize or catalyze these movements and they inspire people. And then I think about how many reforms and upheavals I've lived through and how many of them have spurred me into action. You know, I'm hoping this might be one of the few. Because personally, I think it's really important for me to have a cause worth fighting for, and for myself in the future, in my old age. And hopefully I've, you know, created things that I'm proud of, or done things that I can be proud of. I can go back and pinpoint, right, this action that I took, it was because of this cause, or I wanted to do this, or I was inspired by the youth of Indonesia standing up for what they believe in, and standing up in the face of violence and cynicism, and holding on to their hopes. Something like that. Well, this turned out to be a much longer voice note than I anticipated, but I hope you've enjoyed it. Maybe for those of you who are non-Indonesians listening to this, you've learned something. And yeah, thank you for listening to my thoughts, my personal musings that I did on a Tuesday afternoon. And I'd love to hear your opinions on these issues if you have any. Thank you for tuning in to the Conversationalists by Sue Sibs. This has been Rania on Transcontinental Voice Notes. And hopefully I will be better at recording this on Audacity, because it literally took me like 2.5 hours to record this. I will do my best to be a better content creator. And just as a closing note, it's really interesting and strange that I'm usually so pumped up and thoughtful and pensive, and I guess a lot more idealistic / altruistic when I'm not at school, which actually leads really nicely to this episode that I recorded with my friends at school back in like March or April that I never got around to editing because I suck at editing. But yeah, if I ever publish it, keep out for that. I mean, keep an eye out for that, yeah. And thank you for tuning in. This has been Rania, and see you in the next episode. Bye-bye.